Hey, what's your problem? You have business problems? We have business solutions. Well, maybe.
Yeah.
Life is a fight. In business, every day is a fight. So, hey, what's your problem?
Yes, thank you, John David Wells. The big voice guy for the show. Man, he sounds great every time he says that intro. It's like it's recorded or something. If you need an intro for, let's say if you need an intro for when you walk into a room, I could do that for you and sound like me, or you can have John David Wells do it for you and make it sound like Mike Rowe is introducing you from Dirty Jobs. Or maybe being narrated like you're on the Bering Sea in Alaska, crab fishing. Where am I going with this? I don't know. Go check him out. Wells Report, Facebook. But from the big.hq in Spring Hill, this is the What's Your Problem podcast. Coming from the Big Dot Lighting HQ, big.lighting.com. If you're traveling northbound on 65, right before between Columbia and Spring Hill, over on the right before you hit the Saturn Parkway, you'll see our building with the unbelievably hand-painted sign on the side of the building. True work of art, because we are not painters. We are good at being electricians and lighting people. What's Your Problem is a podcast about business owners and professionals all around the Middle Tennessee area and sometimes even beyond who have issues with doing business. And I don't care who you are. If you're the most successful person in the world, you've always got something going on in your life that's an issue. I am your host, Jim McCarthy, with Jim McCarthy Voiceovers, JadCam. And today in the studio, we've got a Columbia business, straight out of Columbia, am I right? Cool. Mr. Zach Hooten with Bug Out Pest Control in Columbia. That's not the one I wanted. Here we go. I was on the wrong bank.
That's all right.
I'm always on the wrong bank. Thanks for being here.
Yes, sir.
Thank really you do appreciate it. I'm doing a whole bunch of stuff right in the middle of this, in the beginning of this podcast. It's like juggling, right? And arranging cats, wrangling cats, I believe is what they call it. Cat wrangling. Always running the board, and I'm always, I just finished my lunch, so my voice should be in an immaculate condition at this point. But coming from Columbia, starting a business doing pest control, but before we do that, which I probably should have told you before we went live doing this, we do something called the Random Five, which are five random questions to get the juices flowing.
All right.
Okay, these are truly random. Believe it or not. Starting with the first question. What's the most essential part of a friendship?
Ooh. I would say loyalty.
Loyalty, credibility, integrity, all that fun stuff, all those itty words.
That's right.
There you go. Okay. What's the most beautiful view you've seen?
I would say watching or looking into the eyes of both my children once they were born.
Oh, man, that is so sappy, but I get it. Question number three. What are you interested in that most people aren't?
Probably pest control.
Well, we'll get into that. We'll certainly explore that. But I would say for me, it might be Marvel. But I mean, a lot of people are into Marvel, right? No? Okay. Jen's just shrugging. She's not participating. What question have you always wanted to ask, but were too afraid of looking stupid?
Ooh. I don't really know.
You don't know?
I don't know. Probably that question.
Maybe it's that question. We'll go with that. What benefits does art provide society? Does art hurt society in any way? That's six questions, but we'll go with it.
Art is in the eye of the beholder.
It is.
Everything that's going on in the world right now, I would say that art has its purpose, but it also shows us our past.
True, very true.
So, it can be hard for some to see art.
If we pay attention to it.
That's right.
Right? Well, there you go. The random five. I think that was five questions, right? Yeah.
Or six.
Maybe we'll go with six. Well, thank you for being here, Mr. Zach. I really do appreciate it. I'm sure it was a very long drive up from Columbia.
Not at all.
Not at all. Not at all. And tell me how you got started in everything that you're doing currently. So how did it all begin?
It all began, my grandfather, Mr. Gary Hardison, started back in pest control back in the late 60s with Orkin. Right. That started kind of my family in pest control. He worked there through the late 60s, early 70s, worked in some chemical plants during shutdowns, and opened a business here in Spring Hill late 70s called L&H Pest Control. He worked there for 30 some odd years. My father, my mother, my uncle, my grandmother, they all worked there. Mm-hmm. I learned a lot from him and watched him, and that business closed around 2000, and my father wanted to continue and opened up Bug Out Termite and Pest Control. So my father and I are in business together, and we run our day-to-day business with myself, my mother, my wife. They do a lot with our office.
Right.
But I would say that's kind of where we got started. You know,
how long ago was that when you started doing?
Bug Out's been, we'll celebrate our 20th anniversary June the 1st of this year.
Okay.
So we'll be in business 20 years that year.
So 01 is when it got off the ground.
That's correct.
Yes, okay.
I come on about 5 years ago, full time, helping my dad. I finished college, got started, and just kind of started working through everything and working on growing the business and kind of taking us to different levels from there.
Right.
And still kind of had those roots of what my grandfather started way back a long time ago.
Was there anything else you wanted to do while you went to high school?
Yes and no. I always wanted to be in pest control. And it was one of those things that I knew from an early age. I went to work with my dad, my uncles, my grandfather. It's what I did a lot on summer breaks.
Was it a bug fascination as a kid?
No, I just knew I wanted to own my own business one day.
Right. And kill bugs.
And kill bugs. Right. And that come with it.
Is it a power thing for you? Is having dominion over the bugs?
I don't think so. Cause sometimes I don't feel like I get all of them. You know, they've been here a lot longer than we have, and they'll be here a lot longer than we will. So sometimes I feel like I'm being defeated.
I mean, you come across a bug that's sitting on, you know, the floor, and is your first inclination to be like,
That's right.
You look at it and do you get excited?
You know, there's certain, I've been doing this myself for 10 years now. Right. And there's certain situations that kind of stump me. So, you know, those still, there's excitement. You know, you do the same thing every day. But every house, every client, every business is different. So, you know, there are things that definitely keep that excitement going and keep you from getting burnt out.
Right. Like what? What comes to mind?
You know, when you meet people from all over, you may service somebody in Columbia one day, you may be in Franklin the next. For me, I cover 16 counties in Middle Tennessee. So I may be up around Nashville one day, we may be down in, you know, towards the Tennessee River the next. So getting to see all of Middle Tennessee, getting to see the people that are moving here, there's a large amount of people, as you know, moving into Middle Tennessee, getting to meet with them and just see different walks of life. That's exciting.
You don't look like you're dressed to crawl under some crawl spaces or get up under there. You've earned your stripes, I guess, right?
No, I haven't. No? I don't.
It's something you have to do anyway, any given time.
That's right. I was under one this morning helping the guys out. That's one thing that they know. I won't ever ask them to go somewhere that I wouldn't go with them or that I haven't been before. And we stock up on crawl suits.
The only really, the reason why I'm asking is that if you're watching this, Zach is wearing his headphones behind his head. I assume to not get headphone hair.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
So it doesn't mess up the do.
That's it.
But you have a great coif for sure. Well, and a fabulous beard.
I appreciate that. My guys down at Southern Edge Barbers in Columbia take great care of me.
Nice. Little plug for those guys.
Why not? That's right.
So getting into it, you have the people skills. You really enjoy getting out and seeing Tennessee, all the different scenarios that you get into. I mean, I was a product of my father's business, but in no way, shape, or form did I want to take it over. I worked in it, And I couldn't wait to get out. My brother was the same way. It was telephone systems.
Okay.
So it's refreshing when you come across a family business that's got multi-generational applications going on. There had to be frustrating times.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, where you just wanted to come in and, you know, throw your tools in the door like I did back in the day.
Oh, yeah. You know, working with family, it's tough. You know, you have the emotional dynamic inside of things. And it's the same way working with anybody. You have to get up every day. You have to go to work. And when you get with your clients and you're doing your job, you know, that stuff doesn't matter.
Right.
Not to say your feelings and things like that don't matter. You've got to do the best job you can do because they're paying you for a service. And you've got to show up and go to work every day and put those things aside. And my father and I, we have a great relationship. We work well together.
How old's your dad?
My dad's 45, so he's young.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. My parents, I think that's one
reason. How old are you?
I'm 28. So my parents had me very, very young.
No kidding.
Yep.
That's like high school age they had you.
That's high school, yeah.
Man.
My dad and my mother and father, they got started young. I've got two younger sisters that are still in high school that are help with the business and do some things.
Right.
Hopefully we'll grow into that. But my dad and I work really well together. You know, I'd kind of seen what he had laid out before me and how he got started.
You can practically be brothers for crying out loud.
A lot of people think we are.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, back to your question, you know, talking about with your dad and how you couldn't wait to get out of there. No. I'd kind of seen where my dad got started. Mm-hmm. And I thought, man, that's just the, you know, where he's worked to. That's just my starting point. Right. Where can I go from there? And where can we go, you know, for my kids and so on and so forth?
See, it's interesting. You're the second son of a business owner I have spoken to in the last week.
Awesome.
The first one was I had to take a trip down to Miami on Thursday to an exotic car dealership, Prestige Auto Imports. That's right. Because I'm thinking Auto Spa, because they have a car wash too. And the guy who runs it, his name is, my old man brain. Brett David. His name. And he's kind of a biggie on social media and everything, a big influence and everything. But he started the business, or his father started the business back in 1977, I want to say doing Lamborghinis and stuff like that. Yeah. So all high-end exotics. He's doing essentially what you're talking about doing. His father built it to a certain level, and I think at one point his father died and handed the business over to him. And this guy's just hockey sticked it. Now he's into Lotus, all these other different brands, doing used cars, the car wash. The car wash has got a cafe in it.
Wow.
He sells boats. He sells planes. So he's got a whole
he's bunch got a of corner. Stuff going on. Yeah.
Yeah. Is that, I mean, where do you go from here with that? I mean, with pest control, I would imagine doing something along the lines of a franchise or something like that.
Possibly. We've kind of, you know, talked about things like that. A lot of my competitors in the market, especially this last year with COVID and the pandemic, started seeking different ways of revenue. I've got, you know, friends in the business that they started putting on gutters on houses. They started doing encapsulation work, just anything that they could do to keep servicing their clients and keep, you know, keep revenue coming in.
Well, Terminix was doing that.
They're
doing encapsulation work.
Yep, Terminix.
Because we've done some work for them, both doing the electrical installation.
Yeah, absolutely. And all the, you know, those all great products. For me, I get up and I think, okay, I know what we're good at. That's termite control and pest control. And I don't really have the desire to branch out from that. I want to do what we're best at, and just keep doing it and replicating it and doing more. And maybe branching out into other service areas as far as location wise, but not different services.
Right. I had somebody on here not too long ago, and one of the problems that he was having was just, you know, trying to scale up the business and get more business attracted to the table, doing something, you know, a business same as yours. And I said, you know, the best thing you could probably do, and this is inspired by Brad Lee, who told another friend of mine who is a house inspector. Mm-hmm. Now, I'd imagine that's certainly something you could probably... Is that something you could do? Can you inspect crawl spaces and know what you're looking at?
Yeah, we do. We, you know, with all the growth here with home buying and things like that, we offer termites clearance letters where we check the crawl space, basement, slab areas, and offer, you know, some minor things if they need it with that.
Right.
And usually just offer referrals of who, you know, if somebody needs electrical work or, you know, leaky pipes, things like that. You know, when we're in there, we're looking for those things as well.
Well, what Brad talked about to my friend who's a home inspector who was trying to figure out other ways, he needed another revenue stream.
Sure.
He says, as opposed to just relying on real estate agents to do home inspections on the sale and purchase of a home, I need to fill in some gaps because that's kind of, you know, here and there. I mean, sure. Now in the Nashville market, that's not the case because he's probably busy out of his mind with how hot it is here. What Brad recommended him to do was a really quick, if you needed to go door to door and ask people, look, the last thing you want to do as a homeowner is get up under there.
Sure.
And use those kind of words exactly. So say it just like that.
Yeah.
Get up under there. Homeowners don't want to get up under there. I know I don't.
Right.
I'll do it for you and I'll check everything out. And it's something you should probably do at least once a year anyway.
Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah.
So maybe that's something you can kind of apply. I'll get up under there for you.
That's right.
And check the bug out.
That's right. I like that.
Yeah.
I like that.
I'm not sure if that's an actual problem that we've identified, but why not? I'll go into it. Let me pull it up here. Here we go.
What's your problem?
Zach, is that your problem? Have you been told that you have to think of a problem before you come on the show here today?
I have not. I have not, Jennifer.
Jennifer, what is up with that?
Oops.
Yeah, no oops. You got to have some sort of problem you're dealing with.
You know, as a business owner, operator, you know, personally, I would say I always weigh, you know, when do you stop working? Mm-hmm. You know, juggling family life, work life and all that. You know, I get started when everybody else does. And usually long after everybody else is finished, I'm still in the office making notes and, you know, making sure that everybody's ready for the next day. So, you know, that's definitely a problem. And another problem is just staying relevant in a community where so many people are moving here from out of state. You know, a lot of our customers know us. They're like, yeah, you need to call Zach. We've been using him for 15, 20 years. You know, we've been using Jason, his dad, and, you know, his granddad. But you have people that move here that, you know,
And I've never heard of you.
They've never heard of me. They're like, who's that?
Right.
So, you know, just keeping a positive reputation, staying in the community.
Do you network with a lot of local real estate agents and get to know them there? Have them and do the introduction for you?
Yes and no. You know, I know a lot of them. We work with them.
Right.
You know, and we all kind of have our you know, the people we work with, we kind of continue to work with them. And the people that don't work with us, they kind of work with their person. You know, the good thing about pest control, most people that have somebody that provides their service, they're very loyal to them. You know, they're.
Well, how do you overcome that?
You know.
You don't think loyalty is overcomable?
For the right price, you know, that we always have people that call in the summer and you get companies that are from out of state or out of town that come in and say, hey, you know, we've got a $19.99 special and we'll do this, this, and this. And that's great. But, you know, those people don't live here in your community. They're not going to be here when you have a problem, and you need something more than just a maintenance call. And that's something that I can say, you know, all of our employees, all of us are Maury County natives, live here, work here every day, and we're there for anything that we can.
Right. But, I mean, even as you want to grow this thing and do what you talked about before, you know, once it goes from your father's hands into your hands and you want to really pour some gasoline on the fire,
sure,
you got to figure out how to keep that same family feel in other markets.
Yeah. You know, you have to I think that's the part of just, you know, becoming larger. You still have to provide a family feel, like you said.
Right.
And the way we kind of send everybody through and train and work with them, you know, I don't really think of our employees as employees. I think a lot of them are family. Right. The same thing with our customers. So working hand in hand with everybody that comes through and trains and works with us. I'm hoping they can have that same feel when they come in service for all of our customers, and know that their family and our customers are family as well.
Do you think that's ascertainable on the front end when you hire them?
It's tough.
Do you have core values and directives for your business, stuff that you believe in?
Sure. Oh, yeah.
Value points, all that stuff.
Yeah. You know, honesty, integrity. I can't tell you how many. I had a phone call earlier today. Had a client call in, or a presumed client. She called in and she had a couple of questions. And I told her, I said, here's some quick tips for her problem that I think you can do at home and remedy yourself. And if it doesn't work, wait about a week and give me a call. I'd love to went out there today and taken care of it. But there's, you know, I don't always have to jump to sell something to somebody or say, this is the service you need. Sometimes there's easier ways for them to take care of that situation and take care of it right then.
Okay, so there's a core value for you, right?
That's right.
You mentioned honesty and integrity, which are kind of nebulous words.
Sure.
A lot of businesses use those type of words. So how do you dig deeper,
right,
and explore some of those concepts, but make them more specific so you're swinging the hammer harder?
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
What I'm hearing from you is if you can fix the problem before we show up, we're going to try and figure that out. This way, it's a good relationship getting. We're going to be more you-centric. I have a thing about be them-centric. Be them-centric. It's not about you until it is. And even then, it's not about you. It's about them.
Correct.
It's always about them and how we can service you moving forward right off the bat. You know, something along the lines I'm hearing, if you can do it on your own, we're going to point it out and show you how.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Until we have to come in and do it for you.
Yeah.
So maybe that's a core value.
Sure.
Right?
Absolutely.
I would write that sucker down and put it in stone.
Put it in stone. There you go.
There's a company I work with called the Dream Automotive Group. And they own a collection of Mercedes-Benz and an Infiniti dealer in the South. They're all driven by core values. They've got what they call a quiver of arrows. Mm-hmm. And every employee was required to wear their core values around their neck as a list.
Awesome.
There's probably 27 of them.
Yeah.
You know, we're not a car dealership. We're a luxury retailer. That's one of their core values. And they've got a whole host of them. You know, you're on stage, smile, make sure you accompany the customer wherever they want to go and hand them off. Make sure that they're being accompanied somewhere. You know, integrity before profits, that kind of thing.
Sure.
So he doesn't ask them. The CEO does not ask them, okay, you got to measure. I'd like you to go over them, be familiar with them, but I want you to pick up two or three that really resonate with you.
Yeah.
And whenever somebody asks, be able to recite them back and say, you know, what do they mean to you?
Yeah.
I don't know, something, there's definitely an idea there.
Absolutely.
Especially for a business like yours, it's so service-based. A lot of stuff you can learn in the car business.
Absolutely.
To do and not to do.
That's right.
Other core values, anything else? What else do you believe about your business?
You know, at the end of the day, most of us in the pest control industry, we buy a lot of the same products.
Mm-hmm.
We apply them in the same manner. You know, the company and why you're being successful really speaks a lot about you and your technicians. You know, that's why we spend a lot of time training them, making sure they know exactly what to do. Something I say often, you know, it doesn't matter if you have 5 stops that you're going to go service that day or 25. When you were there and you were with that homeowner or business owner, that's the only thing that matters. So if it takes you 10 minutes, an hour, whatever the situation, you need to take care of them and make them feel like that is the only place that you need to be at that time. Because at the end of the day, that's it. That's,
you know how you sum that up? Man, you should be taking notes on this stuff.
You
got to go back and listen to this.
Here's another
core value.
There you go.
Be present.
Be present.
That's it. What else do you believe? We're knocking a bunch of stuff out here, man.
We are.
Now, this is something you share with your dad and the family, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Dude, that's who you are. This is who we are.
That's right.
So what else do you believe?
You know, you got to work hard every day. I would say that's, you know, definitely a core value. I think everybody in my family, everybody that's come before me, everybody that will come after me, you've got to work hard.
Well, where does working hard come from?
Again, I would.
Does somebody want to work hard at something they don't like doing?
No. Right. You have to have a passion for what you know what you're doing, right. And sometimes you know that passion may not be there, and that may not be where you need to be. We found that with past employees and been through.
You're going to get them,
sure. Yeah. But you know, for the most part, you know, my family and I, we love what we do. We wake up every day thankful to be able to do it, and want to continue doing that.
So okay, what I'm hearing is there was an old notion my brother had said to me back when we were both working for my dad. Actually, I was working for an electrician at the time, and I told him about what I was doing. Obviously, it didn't sound like I enjoyed it, and he said to me, Jim, if you're waking up every day and asking yourself, why do I have to do this again? You need to find something else.
Sure.
It's just not in you.
Yeah.
Your heart's not into it. So every day here at Bug Out, we are glad to get up and get to work.
Oh, absolutely.
We are happy, you know, and that's the thing is that, you know, for your employees and the people you bring on, if there's a day where you dread coming into work, that's a problem.
Absolutely.
We need to talk about it and figure out why you're having that problem.
I can't wait to listen to this again.
But seriously, you know, we got what, 3 core values, right? Just
yeah.
now?
Yeah.
What else do you believe? What else is there? This is fun.
So something that I guess it's a core value that I say often that gets on everybody's nerves but mine. I constantly say, get it right and do it right the first time. And that's kind of OCD thing for me, you know, whether it's sending paperwork, you know, doing what we do, we have a lot of documentation that's involved with, you know, every client that we have to send service reports and service records and things like that. So I want to make sure that every client's name is spelled right, the address is right, the phone number is right, all of those things. That way, when we present that to them and they have it, we've already done our work. It's ready to go. Not, hey, we got your name wrong. We got your address wrong. We got your cell phone number wrong. And even when the technicians go out in the field, you know, do everything, get your checklist, make sure you're doing everything right the first time. And really, you know, you only get one time to have a first impression.
See, I actually disagree with you there. I think that you have more times to make. You can make a first impression for sure. Right. We're human. Absolutely. We're going to screw up. We're sinful beings. We're not perfect. In the voiceover industry, they tell us, well, you only have one chance to make a first impression. Very true. But you have a lot of chances to make second impressions. You can always follow up. You can always, because that's what they say as well, your first demo experience for a voiceover demo, if a customer hears it or a potential client or a production house or agency hears it and it's not up to snuff or it hasn't been produced right or maybe you haven't been coached the right way or you sound too amateur, their thing is that, well, make sure that demo is up to snuff as best as it can be before it goes out. A lot of value to that statement, but there's only so much talent and value and goodness in that demo, right?
Sure, yeah.
If you approach it with the notion of, hey, here's first of many to come. Do you mind if this is a good way for me to keep up in touch with you as my business develops?
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah. That's a great point.
Yeah. I mean, it's always good ways to follow up that are them-centric. Maybe that should be one of your...
I think so.
Your core values is hashtag be them-centric. Because I don't own that hashtag, but I'm certainly putting it out there a lot, aren't I?
You are.
Right? What? What, Jen? God, what do you want? I need to get a camera on you.
So the whole second chances, does that work whenever you call our people that come in for the podcast the wrong name?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
because what do I do?
You called them by the wrong name.
I called them by the wrong name, but then what do I do?
You apologize.
I apologize, and I admit the fact that I'm not good at remembering names. And it's totally something that's not a good excuse. But, you know,
it's the truth.
Yeah, it's the truth. And it's candor.
Casey Weber with Tallgrass.
Oh, that's funny.
I called him Corey.
I think so.
Yeah. Casey Weber. Casey, if you're listening, I'm sorry about that again. I feel genuinely bad when that happens. But I mean, you know, I hopefully redeem myself saying, oh my gosh, I'm an idiot. You know, there's a candor to that. That's hopefully appealing, you know, because that's all you can do in that situation.
That's right.
I don't know if I told you this story when I was introducing a band. Did I tell you this, Jen?
No.
For Reggie Hamm, who was on, I believe, episode 2 or 3 of this podcast, he wanted me to MC an event at the Franklin Theater. And he, I was working for Jack FM at the time. I want you to take the second part of the event and MC it. And I said, why do you want me to do that? Nobody knows who I am here. He says, well, you work for Jack FM. I said, exactly. There's no jocks on Jack. I'm just the behind the scenes guy. No, no, just come out and do it anyway. Okay, sure, fine. So I go there. I get up on stage. I tell the story about how, and this is probably in front of, I don't know, 1,200 people, about how he and I met and got together and became friends and such. And then it came time for me to introduce the band. What do you think happened? Guys, you ready for the next set of music, guys? Yeah, well, you know, they're cheering and everything. All right. Spaced on their name. In front of everybody. Yeah. Holy crap. What do I do? And they're on side stage looking at me. And I'm like, hey, can I turn around to the band behind me and ask? That would look too obvious. So I literally said, come on out, guys. Enjoy these guys. And I hustled off stage. It was the Martins.
The Martins.
How do you friggin' forget a name like the Martins? I did. So, not my strength. My core value should be remember names.
Remember names.
Yeah. But be them centric in your element, you know, talking about being all about the customer. And that last one that you talked about, I was thought that we were going. Remind me again what it was.
Oh, gosh. I don't know. The last thing that we talked about?
Yeah, before I went off on a name tangent. Second chances.
We were talking about, you know, get it right the first time. And, you know.
You don't get second chances to make first impressions.
Yeah.
Okay. There was a line of thought that I had that it was while you were talking about that. Getting it right the first time. There's almost like an element of letting your employees know that they're empowered, that we're going to screw up. And it's okay to admit that, like, admitting the fact that I'm bad with names is candor.
Right.
Admitting the fact that, hey, when we do, we will try to get it right the first time always.
Right.
Because that when that happens, if we fill out the paperwork the right way, we create a harmonious culture that everybody is getting along as best as possible. Everyone's doing their job to make the process seamless and smooth, which in turn makes a better experience for the customer, which is what our goal is. Moving forward with that, getting it right the first time means we're going to screw up every now and then. The employees need to know that you are empowered to do what you need to do.
Sure.
To make sure that that is rectified.
Sure.
And that comes from the thing from the Mercedes dealerships. Excuse me. Where one of their core values is you're empowered. That they have a threshold of money that they can spend at their within their circumstances to make it right for the customer. And typically they found that it happens between $100 and $150. That all they have to do in order to make that customer over the moon is spend a little bit more that much. And they have that discretionary ability to do that.
That's very
interesting. Something to think about.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, empowerment for the employees. Plus, you know, they feel like they're in control.
Right.
So what else do you believe?
This,
we're getting a whole list here.
I was going to say, this is like the 5 questions that turn into 7.
Sure.
Let's see. What else do we believe? What else do I believe?
Working hard, getting it right the first time. What about inner operations with the company and stuff like that with your employees?
You know, we're really family based, family oriented with everything. We go to lunch once a month, all employees. We take time out, sit down. It's a great time if they're having any issues, anything we need to work on. obviously, if anything needs to be addressed before then, we take care of that. But, you know, just kind of brainstorming, going over how's everything been working, how's their days, is there anything they want to change, anything like that, anything that they think we can do to, you know, run more smoothly, them have a better day, things like that. So we do that once a month, you know, just to kind of keep in touch and make sure that, you know, we're all on the same page and running together.
So I would say that goes back to my radio days. We had a culture that was based on the fish video. Have you seen that?
I have not.
There's a fish market in Seattle where they took something as being mundane as working at a fish market to a public spectacle. And what they do is while they actively package and sell fish to the public, they made it fun. So they take the fish and they throw it to each other and everything. They play while they're at work.
Sure.
You know what I mean? So maybe, hey, you know, something that we also do is play, you know?
Yeah.
Play hard as much as we work hard. So once a month or once a quarter, we're going to have a big kind of meeting, get together, make sure everybody's, you know, dialed in and having fun.
Absolutely.
I've actually just pulled up the quiver of arrows on my phone here. I can go through all of them. And they might actually help you here. Yeah. But I think it really does work. The first one, know who we are. Dominate your role. Take pride in your work. Know the product. Speaks to get it right the first time, right? I love talking about this stuff. Train with the goal of mastery in mind.
Absolutely.
Right? Think about relationships, not transactions. One of the things that they engage in from both sales and service consultants is handwritten thank you notes.
Yeah, we do a little bit of that we do.
Innovate at every corner. Ethics always come before profits. You are empowered. Don't be afraid to make a decision. Do the right, though this one's powerful. Do the right thing, not the easy thing.
Oh, yeah.
Big time, right?
Absolutely.
Communicate and support company objectives. Continuously identify defects throughout the store. Mm-hmm. That goes along with empowerment. Do your employees feel like they can come to you and say, you know what, this isn't quite right?
Oh, yeah.
Do they?
Yeah.
Stop what you're doing, because I'm about to ruin. Stop what you're doing and attend the customer's needs. Instant guest classification. They have a montage greeting when people come in the store. Whoever receives a complaint will own it and satisfy the customer.
I agree with that.
Isn't that crazy?
I agree with that.
Smile, we are on stage. This is very important. A lot of employees lose sight of this. Be an ambassador of your store in and outside of the workplace.
Yeah. Yeah.
How many of them do you think do that? They don't realize that, well, hey, I'm off work. I'm not, you know, representing them anymore.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think our guys, you know, they're pretty outstanding citizens. They're involved with, you know, a lot of them help coach and do ball and do other things in the community. And I think they know that they represent us, you know, at work and away from work. And I think they do a pretty good job with that.
How do you answer the phone?
Bug out. This is Zach.
Do you answer it with a smile on your face?
Every time.
Do you?
Every time.
It makes a big difference.
That's right.
I'm looking at the list still.
We're going down through there. And yeah. You were asking me if our guys feel like they could come to us and say we need to do that, or we need to do this or this and that differently. You know, we kind of have a checklist of every property and every place that we go to of things that we need to do when we're there and look at and take care of and kind of cater to those needs. We were at a house yesterday. Following up from the previous week, one of the guys went out there and they're like, hey, you know, we were in the attic, and we're not always in attics, but he just happened to find himself in the attic the last time he was there servicing. noticed some wasp and things like that. And we talked about it, and I said, well, let's set an appointment. You and I will go out there together. We'll take a look at it. And, you know, just kind of make sure we're getting ahead of things before the problem gets worse. And I have things like that that happen often. You know, the guys will bring things to our attention that may be outside of what we're there to normally treat and do. And we'll, you know, we try to go above and beyond and make sure that we take care of any problem before that problem becomes worse or a worse situation.
Right. So a lot of this, was this hopefully productive for you?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Even though it was kind of a train wreck on my end?
No, this has been great. It's been great. I really enjoyed this.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of those things that I like to talk about this all day. I love talking about culture because I believe without culture, you don't have anything.
Yeah. No, this is great. And it's a great experience for me. You know, a lot of times I get up, I go to work, and that's what I do. And I don't make a lot of time for things like this. So it's great to be invited to come out and take a few minutes and do something a little out of my normal.
Now, do you believe that you're more in charge of creating the culture for your business than actually doing business with customers? What do you see your role as?
That's tough. Mm-hmm. I would say, you know, ideally, I could balance both of them. Mm-hmm. You know, I try to work on creating a great culture for our business. But a lot of times we get busy and I just have to get in there and go to work just like
get up under there.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. Get up under there. Check it out.
But I mean, that's one of the key things you said earlier was I won't do anything. I won't make my guys do anything that I won't do.
That's correct.
Or haven't done.
That's correct.
So that's a big part of it.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Well, awesome, man. How do people get a hold of you?
We're all over. We got rolling billboards. You see them all around Middle Tennessee, Columbia, every day. My number is 931-698-5076. All my clients and anyone can have it and then call me, text me anytime. We're on social media. We're everywhere. Just give us a look, give us a shout, give us a call.
What are you doing on social? What kind of content?
You know, I don't do a lot with it. My wife, she handles that. She handles our Instagram and our Facebook, and she's kind of working on our website. So she's kind of working on some things there and trying to keep us relevant. I'm kind of hands off. I'll take a quick video and occasionally send it over to her and tell her, you know, use this for what you please and where you want. And that's about it.
Bug out termite and pest control.
That's it.
That's the handle.
That's it.
So look for him on Instagram.
That's it.
I told, you know, one of the things that a guy in your position could be doing, being that that one of your core values now, is to identify the problem and see if it's solvable from the customer's point of view.
That's right.
Why not turn those into tips, video tips on things that the customer could do? Hey, before we come out, here are a few things. If you have this situation happening,
you can, yeah.
Here are a couple of things you can do before you have to call us.
That would be great, you know, having that on a website or, you know, just, you know, being able to say, hey, if you're having this problem, we'll send this over. Or, you know, I like to take those phone calls and walk people through that because, you know, like, for instance, the woman that called me this morning, you know, she was kind of panicked and she thought she had a more serious situation than what she did. So that's not going to work in every situation because time is of the essence. You know, people, you know, she was wanting me to come out right then. And I told her, you know, I really think you can handle this there. But it would be great to have tips and strategies for people to follow beforehand. It's just making the time to do that.
Well, I mean, you can put that stuff out there with the caveat of saying, look, if you're not comfortable doing this, my number is this.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hit me up. Let's talk about it. And I'll be happy to talk you through it before you have to spend any money and have somebody come out and take care of it.
Sure.
The other aspect of it are, you know, certain virality to these types of videos are extreme cases mm-hmm. that you come across. You know, sometimes I guess you have to open up a wall sometimes to get into certain infestations.
Yeah.
Videotape that stuff.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's all great points.
That's all great stuff. I mean, because then you can develop a following. There are people on TikTok cutting lawns who have hundreds of thousands of followers.
Yeah.
So TikTok's another avenue to investigate, especially with what you do.
Yeah, I'll check that out.
We came up in one of our situations with Big Dot. We were putting electrical into a basement or it had all the cinder block walls and they had to penetrate one of the walls. And in there, they found a massive termite nest mm-hmm. and it just kept on pouring out
mm-hmm.
and they videoed it. That's one of my biggest performing videos on TikTok. I think it's got something over 100,000 views.
Awesome. I'll check that out.
Yeah. Now, some people came in and said it's actual insulation.
Oh.
But I was told it was termites, dead termite carcasses.
Coming out. I'll have to look at it and see.
Yeah.
I'll let you know.
Okay. That's fine. But nonetheless, it's still got a ton views.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't matter what it was.
Yeah. So whenever you come to something that's, you know, it's almost like Dr. Pimple Popper.
Yeah.
Anything that just, oh my gosh, I can't watch this, but I can't turn away.
Yeah.
Massive.
Well, how about Jennifer, the next time I'm here spraying, you can take a video of me and we can try to do something fun.
But hopefully we don't have any. We found a dead mouse behind the sign over there.
It was dead, though.
It was dead. Yeah. What, Jen?
I'm just saying it won't hurt to have somebody come in and spray for pests.
Are you trying to sell me on this now? Right? Is this what we're doing?
100%. We've already had this conversation.
I know we did.
Zach's amazing.
Okay.
That's one reason I brought him on. You asked, does he answer the phone with a smile? When he would spray the bakery for me, he'd be walking in the door at like 5:30 in the morning with a smile on his face. How many other pest control people do you think are out starting their days at 5:30 in the morning?
Yeah, but the way you sold him to me was that he was one of the best looking guys that you knew.
At 5:30 in the morning.
At 5:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
He's young.
Yeah.
He's good looking. He's got morals. He's got values. He has a great company. Where else do you find somebody like this?
I think for you, it's just the good looking part. Right?
No.
Yeah.
No.
Had to be. How's the OnlyFans
Zach's
page coming
a good
along?
Guy.
She doesn't have one. Not that we know of.
That's right.
We keep on alluding to it. What?
Nothing.
What?
You always got to rig it up. I thought that's why y'all changed the light out in the shower back in the back.
Moving on. So basically, people can follow you, like we said, at Bug Out Termite and Pest Control. That's the handle. It'll be down below. Zach, thanks for coming all the way out here.
Absolutely.
To the Big Dot HQ and compound.
That's it.
Really do appreciate it. And if you're listening and watching, please check us out if you can listen to and watch this show. What's Your Problem Podcast.com. Please like, review, rate, subscribe. If you know a business owner that would be an interesting guest for us, let us know. If you want to come on and you want to talk about your problems, let us know by all means. But please share it out, subscribe, rate, review, all that fun stuff at whatsyourproblempodcast.com. Zach, once again, thanks for coming out, buddy.
Thank you. I appreciate it.